We're moving from one house to another. I couldn't find my regular preaching Bible, so I'm using the New American Standard. If it's a little different from yours this morning, you'll have to forgive me. It's just what happens at times. As we are looking at God's Word this morning, I'm excited that we're starting a series about 1 John. And 1 John has an exciting message to it. And I think we're going to be looking at it this week. And then next week we have a guest preacher. The guest preacher got to preach what he wanted to preach on. We weren't going to try to make him do 1 John. But then the week after that, I'll be preaching again, and we'll be in John chapter 2. And then, Lord willing, Charlie will have finished his licensure exam. Be praying. We'll be excited to have him preaching every Sunday after that. No, much more often. We're excited. But sometimes when you come to God's Word, or in life, there can be things that are hard for you to describe. Something that's been meaningful in your life, and you try to say, okay, how do I take this emotional experience and share it with other people? Sometimes we have a hard time communicating things with others the way we want to. Well, I started to look at some things in the news, and I said, no, I'm not going to use any of those as an example, because this church is committed to loving one another, and we may or may not agree with everything that I might use as an example from the news, because your opinion might be different from mine, and that's the way we want it. That's a good thing, and we're going to love each other through this election, right? We're all committed to that. But as we do that, I then have to go, okay, I can't use any of those examples because I'm not sure where everybody is every single time. But I did find some good ones. These come from insurance forms, and they're kind of funny. But the guy said on his insurance form, I was coming home and I drove into a tree that I don't have. He was in the wrong house. Another guy said, I was going to work at 7 a.m. and I backed out of my driveway and I hit the bus. It was 5 minutes early. Another person said, a pedestrian hit my car, hit me and went under my car. He was all right. I checked. Another guy said, the other guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I was able to hit him. Said, I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way. And the last one, I thought the window was down, but found it was up when I put my head through it. These are all messages that people were trying to communicate, but they weren't quite getting it right. Well, John has a message from God here in 1 John. And we are going to find that it is true, it is proven to be true, and that this message has results in our lives. 1 John, it doesn't say it was written by John, but there are many reasons why we think so, and it has many ties to the Gospel of John. John, in these three books, addresses the gospel, the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, to my little children, a congregation that he cared about. As much as we care about Conrad as a young child in our midst, John was saying he cared about the people that he was writing to. There are many aspects to this book, many topics that are discussed: holiness, fellowship, joy, assurance of salvation, and the difference between real Christianity and counterfeit Christianity. There are three types of tests that are in these epistles. There are tests of doctrinal, moral, and social aspects. And these tests will help us to have a picture of Christ and his word and to be able to judge ourselves in light of the truth by not conforming to this world's standards, but by being strong in our faith and conforming to his word. In chapter 1 of 1 John, he introduces a message. And he starts in verse 1 and 2 saying that this message is true. The message is described as the word of life. And he has heard it, he has seen it, he has held it, he has handled it. He's even seen and bear witness and proclaimed it to others. Let me read verses 1 and 2. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld, what we have held, our hands have held concerning the word of life, and the life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was manifest to us. A key word there is the word manifest. What do we mean by manifest? And it's the idea that a life entered into time and history, that it was real, that we know it was real. Example from the Gospels is when Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "Here's my hand. Put your finger in it. Here's my side." When Thomas, after the resurrection, wondered if it was really the Christ. This is what we mean when we say the message that John is about to give us was manifested to us. It was real in time, in history, in a place, with a person, and we know that it is true. This message also has a result. If you look at verses 3 and 4, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be complete." Two aspects to this: fellowship with one another, and even more so, fellowship with the Father, the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. Fellowship is the idea of having life in common, of having something that you share together. When we have fellowship over coffee, when we have fellowship when we pass the peace to one another, when we have fellowship when we're together in small groups and other activities. This message is that our life can be full. And when you have that fellowship together with each other and with God, then it says in verse 4 that our joy will be complete. I don't know about you, but I am definitely happy to be in this building where it's much easier for us to go out and have even a brief time of fellowship with one another. And I encourage you, as we move further away from the door and more out into the yard, keep that idea in mind, but that we spend time talking with one another, enjoying one another, learning about one another, because that fellowship is an example of our fellowship with God the Father and God the Son through the Holy Spirit. And so we come today, and we should be excited about this message. This message that John's about to give us is something that's going to allow us to have that fellowship with one another, allow us to have that fellowship with God the Father and his Son, and allow us to have complete joy. So, where's Richard? We need a drum roll or something here. The message is found in verse 5. And it says this: "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. What do we mean by light? Well, when we turn on a bright light, it gets rid of all the darkness. I can't tell you how many Zoom calls I'm on, and people have the light in the wrong place. I'm like, I know it's you there somewhere, but can you please get the light in the right place where it illumines your face in a way that we can actually have fellowship, conversation, and I can understand better what you're saying. That's good news that the light has come. And in him there is no darkness at all. And then verse 7, beginning of verse 7, it says this: "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." This once again is bringing us back to that concept of fellowship. And by it says with one another, it includes God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So there's this great news. We have great light, in it is no darkness, and we can have fellowship with God. But there's a conflict. There's a problem. And that is found in verse 6. Verse 6, when it says this: "If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." This is the concept of current sin, that we are suddenly aware that we have sin in our lives. And if you're not aware of that, goodness, you can go back to our prayer of confession. This is why we do this every week, because we are confessing our current and past sin. "Merciful Father, we're guilty before you. Sins of our tongue, deception, untruthfulness, how we deal with others, resentment." Goodness gracious, read that list. If you don't read that list and find something in your life, I don't believe you. That's past sin. But it's also talking about, I mean, that's current sin, but it also talks about past sin. If you look at verse 10, it says this: "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we've got this big problem. We have sin. We've done things that dishonor God. If we truly believe that God is holy and perfect, We come before him when we go, oh, woe is me, for I am a sinner, I am undone. Now, I want to illustrate this, and I think I've shared this illustration before. My grandmother lived to be 102, and at 101, she was laying in bed. She couldn't go anywhere. She could hardly see anything. She spent her days reading her Bible with a magnifying glass and praying for missionaries, okay? Maybe a little bit more holy than me, maybe a little bit more holy than your life looks like. And one day I came in and she was crying. I said, Grandma, what's wrong? And she said, I was just thinking about my sin. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what you could do to sin. But she was more and more aware that she was about to enter the presence of a holy God. And she understood more and more how holy he was. And she was aware of her own sin and how that sin had dishonored her Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to say that your life is perfect, there are people out there that do that, that talk about their lives being perfect. We can consider those things. But I want us to look at John, the first chapter. I want you to have this verse. I'm going to go back and give it to you. John, the first chapter, says this in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's just hitting that concept that Jesus was real. But then we get into this concept of our honesty and our awareness of our own sin. And when we do that, Matthew 22, verse 37 says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the foremost commandment, and the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Okay, let's think about that for a second. If you want to look at a young child and say, oh, how perfect. Do they have sin? Well, go to this. Do they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind? And do they love their neighbor as themselves? Doesn't take long with a young child to go, they don't always love their neighbor as themselves. We can see that. And when we look at our own lives to say, do I love God with all my resources, with my heart, with my soul, with my mind, with my money, with all my time and what I do with it? Do I love the Lord my God with all of that? Do we do that perfectly? The answer, of course, is no. And so we come today and we go, we have current sin. Sometimes we look at it and we say, it's big sin. And we can look at big sins and say, oh goodness, how do you deal with that? One of the saddest things I ever did was go to Rwanda where there were two made-up tribes. They weren't even real tribes. They were two titles that people gave to the people in the country. And they said, you're Tutsi and you're a Hutu. And they divided families with these two titles, these two groups. And they built up so much animosity between them that eventually there was conflict between them and they started killing one another. If you can imagine killing your mother's family because they're part of another made-up group, I mean, that's just terrible. And thousands of people were killed. Children were killed. In fact, Third Mill started because a father was in a seminary in the United States, and he looked at a Time magazine, and he said, hey, I think that's my son. And the lady who the Time magazine was sitting on her desk, Third Mill's the group that I work for, the ministry that I work for, and he looked at it and said, that's my son. She was like excited, thinking, oh, his son's on the front cover of Time magazine. She was like, what? And she pulled it up and looked at it, and it was a pile of bodies that had been massacred, of children that had been massacred in Rwanda, and he recognized his son, and it was. And so she said, we've got to stop bringing people to the United States to get training. This isn't fair to them or their family. That's a whole other story we won't get into, but the point being that it was a terrible thing. And if you read things like Macbeth or you look at a story like that, the question comes, how do I clean my hands? How do I return from such a terrible wrong? And we know the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you look at something big like that, we can go, okay, that wasn't me. I didn't do Rwanda. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not, you know, whatever. But we tend to rename our sins. We tend to excuse our sins. We tend to justify our sins. We tend to ignore our sins. And that's part of the reason that Charlie stands up here and says, or whoever is leading that part, spend a moment in your own life to reflect on your own sin. That's part of the reason why we lay out a picture of different sins there so that you can go, wait a minute, that's me. I'm a sinner today. I need an answer to that sin. If we took a diary and just started writing every single wrong thought, every single bad attitude, every single time someone, I was coming down to get to church and someone was in the turn lane to get on I-10, and they waited until the line was solid and we were starting to turn, and then they got over without a blinker, okay? Now, did I sin? I don't know whether I sinned, but I certainly wasn't happy with that person. I tried not to have evil thoughts about them. In fact, it's hard to preach a sermon like this because you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, my own life. Look at me, I've got issues. How can I dare stand up in front of them? But there is good news. I want to look at that good news here in just a second, but there's one other verse I want to read. Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how will it be salty again? It's good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a measure, under a bushel, but on a light stand that it gives light to all. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven." This is what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be salt that flavors the world in a good way. We're supposed to be light that's on a hill, on a lampstand, that people can see and know the right direction to go. But then we have our own sin. But here's what this passage does to help us. If we look in verse 7 again, it says this. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And then in verse 9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God is light. In him is no darkness at all. But we're sinners. Whether big sins or little sins, whether sins that we acknowledge or sins that we hide, we know that in our own hearts we're sinners. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It says, if we confess, Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." We come this morning and we say we've got this problem of sin, but if we confess our sin, forsake our sin, he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ deals with our past sin, our present sin, and our future sin. Amen. We need a glory hallelujah for that one, because we are in trouble without that. And so we come and we proclaim what we call the gospel or good news. We do evangelism. And evangelism can just be, I was a sinner, but I have an answer. It's Jesus Christ. You don't have to learn all of EE or some other program. You can say, you know me, I'm a sinner, and I'm in trouble before a holy God, but I've got an answer. That's the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for me. And as we come today and we do a baptism, that's a sign and seal of that right relationship with God that's coming for that child, that's applied to you and me. When we come and we do the Lord's Supper, that's a sign and seal where we talk about the body being broken for us and the blood poured out for us, and we confess that that is true. Now, confession should lead to forsaking our sin, saying that we don't want to have that sin in our lives. Now, we know from the other scriptures that if we say it never happens anymore, that we're not being truthful. So every day we come and we say, Jesus, I sinned. I need to confess my sin before you and acknowledge that on me, the only way I can stand in your presence is the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for me. That leads to further and further obedience. Now, talking about obedience is hard because our salvation is not based on our obedience. You don't obey and then you get saved. You obey because you're thankful for what your salvation has brought you, a right relationship with God, and you want to continue in that right relationship, and you want to do better with that. Let me try to illustrate it this way. I was in Mexico, and as a missionary, we had people come, and they would bring glasses, and the doctors would come, and they would identify the whatever was wrong with that person, what glasses they need. And one of the times, I had a pair of glasses, and they were really thick, but I gave them to this guy, and he couldn't see at all. He was being led around by somebody. And he hadn't seen for years and years and years. And then with these glasses, all of a sudden, he could see. And it was an amazing thing to be able to be there. And many other cases of that, but that one I remember because it was so vivid. Other people, you know, they had problems seeing, but all of a sudden they could see clearer. But he couldn't see at all, and then he could see. Now, in Mexico, they had the problem they kept switching each other's glasses because I liked your frame better than I liked my frame, but then they had the wrong prescriptions. But that's another story, too. But the issue is this. We have new eyes to be able to see what's going on in our lives, to see what the Holy God has done for us. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're able to come and confess our sins, to not rename them, not excuse them, not justify them, not ignore them, but to say we want to obey more and more and more. To do this, we need a heart check. And I know I say this every time. I can't tell you what's going on in your life. I can't tell you what sin you're struggling with. I can't tell. You may be dealing with pornography. You may be dealing with selfishness and not giving the way you should give. You may be dealing with selfishness with your time. You may be dealing with envy of other people. Go down the list. Read the prayer of confession again. I can't tell you. What I can tell you is, if you're here this morning and you hear this message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, you either need to be very scared or very joyful. Very scared if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, are very joyful if you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life because in him, you are a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then you're going to go on and say, how do I please my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What is it in my life today that I want to work on to check my heart so that I can have better fellowship with God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit? Better fellowship with other believers, that I can walk in the light, that I can take the Lord's Supper, that I can remember my own baptism, that I can see these signs and seals and say they apply to me and it's working out in my life. That's the goal of what John is talking about here in 1 John. And so I pray for you. I pray the day that you'll have a chance to just think about it and go, what am I going to work on this week? We've all got things we need to work on. You can look at my life and take about 2 seconds and find out things I need to work on. And if you can't come up with something, ask my wife. She graciously is aware of a few of them. Okay? And so we come and we say, what do we need to work on? When we say that we're parents are going to live an example, a godly example before a child, when we say a congregation is going to live a godly example before a child, I hope you're scared. Going, oh my goodness, that's a big one. Now, I'm not saying you have to take notes in church, but you better be sitting there going, am I paying attention? Am I singing with my own whole heart? Am I participating in a way? Am I speaking to people that I would on my own not necessarily speak to? Am I caring for other people? Am I a testimony in my community? All those things are part of working this out. And so I'm going to end today praying for us that we might know how to obey God better, how to confess our sins better, how to walk in his fellowship better, how to live in that light where there is no darkness at all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for a chance to look at your word. I ask that you would go before us in all of this, that we might know you better, that we might love you better, that we might hear your word in our own hearts better, that our giving would be better, that our joy would be better, that our fellowship would be better, not because we're perfect people, but because we come as sinners before the cross in need of grace and happy to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ alone. So this we pray in Christ's name, amen.